alive, sustaining alive. Sustaining alive.
Sustaining alive on 95 BFM.
Look, 2021, let's try and sustain this one alive, everybody, shall we? Hi, Rita.
Hi, Happy New Year.
How are you? You're just coming in nice and hot there. You having a pleasant start to the year, or?
Yeah. Well, no, we got norovirus in our family, so.
You got what now?
Norovirus? It's a vomiting bug.
Okay. Not really on trend. We're sort of more on a
coronavirus
sort of time.
Did every single person in the house spew?
Yes. Yes, and it's been going around daycares.
Going around daycares.
Yeah, it's an outbreak in Auckland, apparently.
Holy shit.
It's actually kind of due to coronavirus. Because apparently they switched cleaning products to get rid of coronavirus to ammonia-based cleaning products. But they didn't realise that doesn't kill norovirus. So there's been a big outbreak.
Sorry, Nora as in Nora Jones virus.
N-O-R-O?
Oh, Noro. Okay.
Norovirus.
Do they know where this virus came from? Or is this going to be...
No, and that's what surprises me. Like, when I have a coronavirus, I'm like, we go to the doctor all the time, and they're like, it's a virus. And I'm just like, just a general virus? And they're like, yeah.
No, this one has got a collared shirt on.
I'm so surprised that we've given this one a name.
This virus can golf.
I think sometimes if they start killing people, then they name them, right?
Did you guys lose a little bit of weight, though, kind of thing?
Yeah, about 2 kilos.
Oh, fuck.
You know,
it's not bad.
This time of year it never sticks, does it? You've still got chocolates left over.
Okay, so with Noro, you can eat food, but you just throw it back up kind of thing?
No, it was 24 hours of pretty solid vomiting.
Oh, yeah. Both ends?
Oh, yes.
God
yes,
damn.
The whole thing was pretty
Sometimes
gnarly.
I wish I didn't ask these
And
questions.
Remember, I've got two kids, so you know, the good thing about adults is we know when we're going to be sick.
You just roll a tarp out in the house and just let everyone sort of...
It was getting to that point.
Go and stand in the shower.
Everybody's sleeping in the carport, okay.
Yeah, everyone's sleeping in the car.
Okay, so sort of a human centipede vibe around your house. That's great. Should we get into the sustaining alive?
Yeah, sorry guys, you're right in their car. That's now feeling really sick.
I'm not sorry.
I know, you really wanted to go there. Cool, so 2021, a new year, but unfortunately climate change just isn't going anywhere. We're ramping up, it's fantastic, not... I'm, like anyone, just desperately wanting this to be resolved, and we're so far from that happening. But, you know, we know a little bit more, so there is some good news in that the US will rejoin the Paris Accord talks.
Okay.
So, just to remind everyone, those are the talks that have been going on forever, to be honest, about keeping our... greenhouse gases capped so that we stay below the 2 degree mark and ideally 1.5 degrees, which is what scientists say. Any more warmer than that and our species can't really survive on this planet. So, you know, it's a pretty important goal there and really important that we get, you know, one of the world's biggest emitters involved in those talks and willing to participate in them.
Yeah.
And then
is that like a Biden vibe?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're already seeing some sort of slight positive results there from that system.
Yeah. I think there's a lot that from an environmental point of view that we'll see overturned in the next little while. It was no surprise that Trump was a bit of a shocker when it came to the environment and protection of the environment. So.
Yep.
So Biden, although isn't radically different, with a lot of things, he is slightly different when it comes to the environmental protection. So I did see somebody say that they didn't vote for Trump; they voted for the other guy, and I thought that was pretty good sort of representation of what I think most Americans were feeling. So you know, nothing majorly inspiring, but. Something's better than nothing, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yep. Then we kind of have a little bit of bad news. So last year, 2020, the ocean temperature actually reached the highest on record. And I'm going to throw some numbers that are just insane. So the oceans of the Earth absorbed 26 trillion, which I didn't even know was a number, joules of heat. So to put that in context, that's the equivalent energy of 10 times Hiroshima bombs every second of the year. For the entire year. That's how much heat energy the oceans absorb. It's unbelievable. And this is 90%.
Well, there's no shade. You know, the sun's coming right at the ocean there. Nobody's thought about planting some trees for the ocean just to kind of cool off.
Yeah, poor thing.
Seaweed.
And this is 90% of the solar energy that is trapped by greenhouse gases. So it does a really nice job here offsetting that solar energy that's coming in. And of course, that's a major problem for us because we obviously get ocean acidification because of that absorption of heat. But also, then we get some issues with extreme weather. So
do we get acid rain from that?
No, that's a different phenomenon.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we get coral bleaching, monsoons, that kind of thing. So it rains, cyclones, more extreme sort of hurricanes, that sort of stuff. And the other thing that's really important to sort of understand about climate change is that there's three sort of cascades of tipping points, and I'm not sure. I think our dear friend Kevin Hester, who, you know, has had no hope for us, sort of probably talked quite a bit about cascades and the tipping points, because the people that are in his camp of thinking are saying that we've actually already lost control. And the concept behind this is that once you sort of pass this tipping point, then the things that were helpful to you are now actually working against you. So there's three, and the most easy one to understand is the runway loss of ice sheets. And the reason this is not easy to understand is because when there's big ice sheets, they reflect the heat off and back up into space, right? So off the sun, back up into space. That's what white does. It's fantastic for that.
Mm-hmm.
We, obviously, once they start heating and melting, then there's less. That's called albedo effect, by the way. And when we melt those, then they're not able to do that for us anymore. So
could everyone paint their roofs
that was
white?
That was an initiative for a while, yeah.
Yeah, I did that at my house. I painted my roof white.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely one of the solutions. If we can paint roads white and stuff, I think it would probably blind us. But yeah, there is some things that we can do in that space. But yeah, black roofs definitely aren't helping.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as they melt, then there's less, then there's more heat reaching the earth, which obviously is a problem for us. So, and then the second cascade or sort of tipping point is the disabling of the ocean circulatory system. So, you know, when you've got nice circulated like systems like that, the Gulf Stream is a really important one where it brings warm airflow up into the sort of England area, and that means that it's actually kind of temperate there. If that warm current didn't exist, then it would be really, really cold. It'd be like a bit more like New York, where it, you know, gets negative 25 in the winter, and that's right across Europe. You'd have these big freezing periods, and so the circulatory system of the ocean is very, very important. And by the melting of our sea, of our ice sheets, what we're doing there is we are getting sort of very cold fresh water, which is quite dense, dropping down into the ocean, warm water rising, and that completely changes the ocean current. And that's where we'll get some major problems. And again, it's that, you know, once that sort of starts happening, there's not a lot we can do to stop it. So that's a tipping point that we really don't want to cross. And then the last one, which is the one I really wanted to talk to you about today, is forests and carbon stores being released. So that's kind of like our hope, right? Like, you know, we've got all these trees to store carbon for us, and that's something that we've been able to rely on, ever since we existed as a species. But the problem is a very scary study was just released, and a New Zealand scientist was involved, and some data from New Zealand. It was a 20-year study, and it's been released in the journal Science Advances, if anyone wants to go and have a look at it. And what it's saying is that this tipping point where we rely on plants, trees for carbon storage can actually be majorly disrupted. So at the moment, plants absorb CO2, in the photosynthesis process, you know, they absorb CO2 and then store it unless they respire, which is where they release some of it back into the atmosphere. What the study found was that photosynthesis peaks at 18 degrees, after which it declines, and then but respiration doesn't. So what that means is that as our temperatures increase, then less carbon will be absorbed and stored by plants, and instead of storing it, they'll be releasing it. So instead of being a carbon storage, they'll become a carbon source. So that's a terrifying prospect, because really, you know, one of those things that we can do is plant. Now, if it's too late for us, then planting is actually just going to make the situation worse. So it's so terrifying that the scientists that discovered this data, they were so horrified that they sold their cars. And they were like, we're not greenies. We just saw this data and thought, holy shit, we have to do something about this. So, you know, that to me is when I read that, I got shivers up my spine. I was like, that's really terrifying. So, you know, it's really, really important that we do something about this before we hit those tipping points and it's too late.
What about, do you subscribe to the fact that apparently we've reached kind of peak oil and we're on the way down from sort of our oil reserves? And obviously we literally like make everything from oil, like plastic, everything is around us. And we rely very heavily on it.
The peak oil thing has been buried very carefully. Mm. So there's not a lot when it comes to studies, because a lot of the data is pretty well hidden under commercial sensitivities. But from what we know, we have reached peak conventional oil, which means any easy oil to get out of the ground is gone. So what we see now is increasing amount of energy needed to get oil into a place that we can use it. So the example being tar sands or fracking. I mean, they use, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's like 3 times more energy to get out.
Isn't there like, ironically, like heaps of oil reserves under the parts where the ice is melting? So the people that want the oil are kind of like, yeah, man, we'll just wait until this.
Possibly. You know, again, these places are really difficult. Like the exploration process is a very, very risky one. That's probably most risk to oil, is when they're doing the exploration, because what they do is they go around drilling holes, and it's kind of like a champagne cork. If you drill a hole in a champagne cork, oh, great, we've hit oil, but if it's unable to be capped, then you've got a problem.
So, put a spoon in it kind of thing.
If they're in the middle of the ice, you dangle and a spoon all of a sudden the weather comes in.
You just leave it in the door of the fridge with a spoon dangling in it.
Now, Rita, these are fairly big picture problems. What can I do?
Oh, fucking
what
hell.
What can I do?
I did also just want to, because there was somebody a couple of weeks ago that said, we can store carbon in seaweed, and there is an argument that we can commercially grow seaweed for carbon storage. What we just have to remember is that usually that goes hand in hand with commercial seaweed, with then selling the seaweed for, you know, other purposes, and that releases the carbon.
We need something to eat the carbon really, and then shit the carbon out, and it have not be carbon when it comes out. An animal that'll do that. Something that'll consume the carbon, and then out the other end, no carbon. Just a little bit of water. Maybe clean water would be quite nice. Okay?
I went very quiet then.
Oh. Rita, can you hear us?
I can now, but that line has gone very bad. I don't know what it's like at your end.
Well,
you sound okay, but that was quite...
Planting seaweed. Plant seaweed.
Yeah, but it does mean that we have to let it die and be buried rather than doing much with it. But it's also not a silver bullet. It will help with some of it, but not all of it.
Is anybody working on, like...
The single greatest thing, because I knew you'd ask that, Johnny, the single greatest thing that we can do is eat less meat. Eat less red meat in particular. So methane, which is released by cows in particular, that is a very short-lived greenhouse gas that's very heating. So it lasts about 12 years, and it's very heating in that time, if that makes sense. So we could buy ourselves a bit of time if we stop eating meat. So that's probably the quickest thing we could do.
Okay.
Yeah, plant trees. And then all the other things. Try and drive less. Yeah.
Divorce plastic. Somehow. Fuck.
Yeah, we have to give up. I mean, that's the thing is also they make a lot of profit off plastic. So, and that's very tied into the industry. So it's very complicated. It's what's known as a wicked problem. But we do need to fix it before we reach these tipping points, really.
True that.
All right, Rita. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I hope I haven't depressed anyone too much.
It's okay, it's Monday.
You've got the rest of the week to cheer up.
Everyone's still sort of coming down from the weekend. They can handle it.
We'll catch you next week. Thanks so much, Rita.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Peace.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95 BFM.